The Olympics can be magical. Athletes from all over the world competing at their best to be the best. And there is something even more inspiring when we know the athletes high up on that pedestal come from close to home. Christy Wagner and Jevie Stone do. The rowing pair hails from Weston and Newton, and they came in fifth in their final race this week. We caught up with them earlier today to talk competition, mental health, and more, and I started out by asking them how that final race felt.
We had big goals, and, you know, we put together a solid race, and, you know, I think we were a little bit sad that our best race didn't result in a medal, but, you know, we had a really good campaign, and I think we're proud of, you know, the effort that we put forward. And, you know, it's really exciting to race in the Olympic final. It was my first time, and that's, you know, as big as the sport gets in rowing. So it just feels really cool to have competed on that stage.
Yeah.
Jevie, anything you'd add?
Yeah, it was my last time. So I think as hard as it is, I was reminding myself, in addition to about technique and get my right arm straight and get the blade squared up, I just kept telling myself, enjoy every stroke.
You two were not a team until relatively recently. Is that correct, Christy?
Yes. We both raced in February in singles. And then kind of in the beginning of March, we came together and started rowing together. So we've only been rowing together since then, which is pretty unusual for the Olympics. But actually in our event here, there were quite a few newer combinations, which is interesting, but also probably makes sense given the like pandemic year and how long it's been since the last international competition.
So Jevie, did that affect how you trained? Did it affect how well you guys got to know each other? Talk about that a little bit, being a new team.
Everyone's training is slightly different, but it really does all go with a theme. And Christy came to Boston and jumped in with our training group. We had six girls between singles trials and doubles trials, and Christy jumped right into that training plan. She did a great job adapting to that, and we definitely did make an effort to check in once a week and to get to know one another. Went for some walks by the river and sat on the bench and went to breakfast. And it's been really fun because we approach training and racing in a similar way even before we met each other. And that bond has gotten stronger over the last couple of months in terms of being on the same page and looking for the same things.
You both are from the area originally, Weston and Newton. Was there something about training here that made a difference? And did you draw on your home communities or things your home communities had done for you when you were younger that got you to where you are?
I think training in Boston for the, you know, couple of months leading up to this for me were really fun and really special. Jevie's, you know, been training on the Charles for a long time, and she's really gathered this group of, you know, other elite scholars, but also masters rowers, which is our word for adult recreational rowers who sometimes take it very seriously and will do Olympic training with some Olympians at 6 a.m. Before they go to work. So it's been awesome. And in our weeks leading up to coming to Tokyo, different crews would stop and cheer for us and applaud for us on the water, which was really cool and just made training so special. And, you know, we felt the love even all the way on the other side of the world.
Jevie, it's so great to hear Christy say that. I admit that I guess I was imagining tremendous strain, having to sort of train for an extra year and stay in peak form once you'd sort of gotten to peak form before the Olympics were postponed, I'm assuming. But it sounds like it was on balance a positive experience.
Yeah, the extra year was certainly a challenge. My group in Boston took everything down a notch in terms of intensity and stress last spring because we knew that we couldn't do 2 years of Olympic year training. It would just break us not only physically, but also mentally.
Let's talk about that mental bit a little bit. Those of us who are not there are certainly watching from afar. And with U.S. gymnast Simone Biles withdrawing from the team all around, a team and all-around competitions really brought awareness to the mental health strains. Has that resonated with the two of you? And what should people understand about the mental health needs of peak athletes, especially in such high-pressure competitions?
I think it's really easy as an athlete to integrate how you do performance-wise into how you feel about yourself as a person and equate results to your confidence. Personally, I think it's hard to separate the two because we spend so much time thinking about our sport, doing our sport. We care about our sport. We're obviously doing it because we love it. But results are not who we are as a human. And being able to separate the emotion and human needs and the character side of things from the performance side of things, I think helps to keep at it and keep a level head, even when times get stressful and maybe don't go as planned. I mean, from what I was reading, and I don't know, Simone was just reading some articles, but it sounds like she internalized a lot of external stressors and put a lot of weight on herself. We have to love what we do to perform because sometimes that's what makes the difference, because what we do is grueling. And so it has to be something that we enjoy and love and care about and have fun doing ultimately.
I do want to talk about Tokyo now. And Christy, I guess I'll turn to you. It's your first Olympic adventure. Very unusual circumstances there. What is it like to compete in your first games, you know, in these games?
You know, rowing is definitely not the most spectator popular sport. So, and because I've never raced in the Olympics before, like, I mean, I've heard stories about how in London there were, you know, fans over the entire 2K course, which is a mile and a quarter. So that's a lot of cheering. And, you know, I can imagine that being really special. But for the majority of our races, you know, our parents are literally breaking into parks to come and watch us race. Like, it, people don't come. So it didn't feel that weird to me because I've, you know, had some of the most important days of my rowing career in front of nobody. That being said, I think it is sad that, you know, our family and friends couldn't be here to experience this with us because you can't get to the Olympics by yourself. And it takes a lot of people in your corner. And I know Jevy and I both have a lot of people in our corners. And it's sad that we couldn't share this experience in person with all of them. I mean, just tying it into the mental side, I think it is hard being, you know, around the world. And when we wake up, our family and friends back home are going to bed. So we can only, you know, talk to people back home for really brief periods of time during the day. And when, you know, you're having some of the most important races of your life, it's hard not to be able to call up a friend and spend a few minutes, you know, going through something. So I understand why it's been such a challenge for a lot of athletes here.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add to that is too bad that the world can't share with Japan, because I think they've done an amazing job hosting these games in terms of the organization, the helpfulness, the enthusiasm of everyone we meet in terms of, like, ushering us into the dining hall and making sure we use sanitizer hands and
every volunteer is amazing and awesome and so excited to be here and so excited to be doing it. And that also makes it feel really cool. And, you know, the little bit of Japanese culture that we've been able to interact with has been awesome.
It's too bad the world doesn't get to see that.
What comes next for each of you? Jevy, I understand you're going to trade the skull back in for a stethoscope because you took years off of your medical residency at Beth Israel Deaconess. Is that right?
That is correct. I start again August 16th.
Are you excited about that? Is it is it trepidation? Is it, I mean...
Yeah, I think for me, rowing has been a huge part of my life for the last decade plus. A lot of who I am is tied to that. And I think about rowing when I wake up and I think about rowing when I fall asleep. And it's going to take some getting used to not having that. And I'm really glad that I have something else that I care about to throw myself into, because I think that the transition would be much harder if I didn't have medicine and something else, another challenge, something else I'm excited about ahead of me.
Are you done rowing?
I am. Well, not done rowing, but done rowing at this level. I'll never be done rowing.
And Christy, what's next for you?
I mean, I'm definitely going to take a little bit of time and, you know, process this past couple of weeks, but also the past year or so. It's funny, I said to one of my friends the other day, like, and finally 2020 is over, because in a lot of ways we've still been living in 2020. you know, it's plastered everywhere around us, and that was a really hard year for a lot of people, and we added, you know, 6 months to it. So I'm excited for a little bit of downtime and be able to spend time with friends and family. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do next, but I feel very equipped to handle whatever it is.
Let's look a little more short term. What is the first thing you're both going to do when you get home?
Well, we have a 3-hour layover in the Chicago airport, and I'm really hoping they have an ice cream store in there, because that's one thing the Olympic Village didn't really have, and we're both pretty big ice cream fans, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
All right, Jevy Stone of Newton and Christy Wagner of Weston, both are members of the U.S. Olympic rowing team. They've joined us from Tokyo. Jevy, Christy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us tomorrow for Radio Boston's Week in Review.